President Obama is rolling out new guidelines aimed at restricting the use of solitary confinement in America's federal prisons. In an opinion piece published today in the Washington Post called Why We Must Rethink Solitary Confinement, the president lays out a series of executive actions and calls the excessive use of solitary confinement an affront to our common humanity.
Among those actions is a ban on solitary confinement for juveniles in federal prisons. Other steps are aimed at significantly curtailing the use of solitary confinement and putting limits on how long a first-time offender can spend in one of these units.
Here with us now to talk more about the president's actions is Reverend Willie Briscoe. He's the president of the Wisconsin faith-based group Wisdom, which advocates for criminal justice reform. He's also an associate minister at New Covenant Baptist Church in Milwaukee. Reverend Briscoe, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what do you make of this week's announcement about solitary confinement from the president?
Well, those of us who've been engaged in this work for a period of time are somewhat optimistic that this is beginning to gain attention throughout the country, because one of the little hidden secrets is what happens to people when they enter into the criminal justice system. Is there actual corrections? Are they actually prepared for when they come outside of those institutions back into the public? And we are finding out that solitary confinement is placing another layer of mental illness on people who are already suffering.
In his opinion piece, the president, as we just talked about there, he called unnecessary solitary confinement an affront to our common humanity. That's strong language. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do, because that is a profession that I worked in, and what has gone unheard and unsaid is that a lot of these individuals who are going into these institutions are already suffering a level of mental illness and some type of disenfranchisement that solitary confinement only exacerbates. What it is the criminal justice system, in order sometimes to save money, has incarcerated individuals who could have been better served by getting some type of mental health assessment and some type of intervention. And when you put those in jail and in prison and put them into another level of prison, disenfranchising them further, it actually harms more than does any good.
And earlier you said it puts another layer of mental illness on some of the issues these inmates are facing. What do we know about what kind of psychological consequences that solitary confinement can have?
Well, there's a prevailing thought in our public views that when we put people in jail, they're going to be punished and they're going to be treated harshly. But one of the things that people forget, to be taken away from society and to be placed in a place where you have very little, if any, freedoms, and you don't have any outside, stimulants, that in itself causes a level of depression. And now, not to give treatment and not to address these issues, you are really turning loose a population that has not only not been served while behind bars, but have basically been made worse.
So you're saying that solitary confinement not only does not serve to correct inmates who undergo it, but is also maybe not fair to the population who's receiving these inmates back into society at the end of their term?
Exactly. Most of the individuals that you'll find acting out in jail are doing it either for a medical, untreated medical, unidentified medical reason, or some form of mental illness. Then you figure out an easier way to deal with this than to get them treated, just to lock them away and put them in an isolation cell for 60 days and sometimes 2 to 3 years. That is a condition that human beings aren't equipped to handle. I often tell individuals that I meet, if you want to see how your mind plays tricks on you, limit yourself to your house for like 3 hours. Place it on your own heart center. You can't go anywhere for 3 hours and see how many places and what your mind does in that little 3 hour period. Now, you take that and place it in years and in decades, you can understand what might be faced when you see these individuals who come from out of this solitary confinement.
You're describing a lot of inmates who have a mental illness and they're being put in solitary confinement instead of being treated. Why are so many people being missed, or why are so many people who need help with mental illness not being given the treatment they need?
Well, And this is I'll speak from experience, and I'll also speak from my own feelings. It has been widely known that the system states that it's easier to place someone in a criminal situation rather than in a treatment situation, because they feel that if you put people in treatment, it costs more and it's more laborious. But when you look at it, if you haven't treated these individuals, you keep putting them into a criminal justice system, you'll find out that in time you'll pay triple what you would normally pay if you treated this person to begin with.
We're talking right now with the Reverend Willie Briscoe of the group Wisdom, talking about the president's new executive actions on solitary confinement. And another change that's being rolled out, the longest a prisoner can be punished with solitary confinement for a first offense will be 60 days rather than the current maximum, which is 365 days. What do you think about that new number?
That new number gives us some hope that this is gaining attention and that people are beginning to look at this and look behind the bars and see how this is being abused and how it's been used as punitive methods rather than gaining someone's compliance. It's easy if you are not feeling that this inmate or whatever is complying with your rules and regulations to just hide them in this system and punish them for this exorbitant amount of time. So what is happening now with the president's proclamation is beginning to draw attention to this, and it's going to make, I believe, that criminal justice system stand up and look at what they're doing and make changes.
Are there times when you would say that solitary confinement is necessary?
There is always a time for a cooling off period when you have someone who is acting out violently and who might not be responding to medication. There is a time when that person needs to be assessed as to what is the proper place for him in population and what the population numbers should be. But there is never really a reason for anyone to do their entire sentence in solitary confinement. There's always a cause and effect to why people are acting out, and it's incumbent upon the criminal justice system to start finding these reasons and these means and treating these people accordingly.
Now, that 60-day number, you said it's an indication that there's new attention being paid to the issue of solitary confinement, but would you like to see that number reduced, maybe even go away, or do you think that that is a reasonable number, 60 days?
I don't agree that it's a reasonable number, and these have to be taken case by case, but there is always a reason for someone's behavior. And I do think that that as they start whittling down these days, they'll start finding out ways to find whether they find treatment or find causes for this activity, and to be able to actually place people in numbers. Sometimes people might not work well in larger groups. They might work well in a smaller area with more limited individuals. But I don't think there's ever a positive when someone is put away and have no one else to communicate with but themselves.
Let's zero in on Wisconsin a bit. Can you give us a sense of how solitary confinement is being used, what amount here in Wisconsin?
Well, this is where we actually began our work, because we've talked and worked with several groups and parents who have individuals who have been severely, you might say, punished by placing them in solitary confinement without medication or without any real reasons other than why they were acting out. And it's been very difficult for us to get those numbers from the state, and it's been very difficult for us to get a set down and talk with the state officials about how they're using solitary confinement and what would be some alternatives. All we know now is that it's getting attention, and they are behind the scenes beginning to make some adjustments, but not fast enough.
We're talking now with Reverend Willie Briscoe of the group Wisdom, talking about the president's new executive actions on solitary confinement. And you can join in at 800-642-1110. 1234.
What do you think about the president's move to limit the use of solitary confinement in federal prisons? Would you like to see a change here in Wisconsin as well? Is this a practice you think should be banned outright, or do you think there are times it's necessary? Have you had experience with this on either side, in a prison, in the state, in a federal prison? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferrat. We're talking with Reverend Willie Briscoe from the group Wisdom. They're a state organization advocacy group, talking about President Obama's recent actions restricting the use of solitary confinement in federal prisons. And we'd like to hear from you, too.
What do you make of the president's executive actions, including a ban on solitary confinement for juveniles? Is solitary confinement a practice you'd like to see banned outright, or do you think there are times when it's necessary? And do you think there are better alternatives? And if so, what are they? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we go now to our callers and talk to Elizabeth in Madison. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi. I have a pretty well managed mental health problem and bipolar too. And since I've been just one time in an isolation while they were doing evaluation, I can tell you that is just about the worst possible place that you could put somebody who's having the kind of stress you would be having going into prison. And I would love to see them get rid of juvenile solitary. Completely. I mean, I just cannot imagine. Here's a child who, for some reason, has got problems already that are making them act out. And the question ought to be not how can I punish this kid. It should be how do I love this kid until they are healthy again. And locking them up in isolation is, it's just going to break their spirit. I just can't imagine, you know, how horrible that is. People use that for torture. You know, in Guantanamo Bay, they do that. So why would we do that with children especially, but for anybody?
Elizabeth, thank you so much for that call. And Reverend Briscoe, your group Wisdom has equated solitary confinement with torture. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, I can. And what it is it's been used as a method of control and a method of punishment rather than compliance. And what that means is that if someone wants to try to get back at a inmate for behavior they consider to be detrimental, they will actually use this as a punishment rather than a means to gain compliance. And what that does is put people at risk and put them in places for periods of time that become detrimental to their health.
Now, these changes from the president, these executive actions, are at the federal level. He says he hopes they serve as a model for states to rethink their rules on this issue. What do you hope Wisconsin comes away with?
Well, I am hoping, since it comes from the president, and this is federal, and it has to do with juveniles, we're hoping that it causes law enforcement entities all around the country to take a serious look at something that's now beginning to gain attention. In the past, it's been what happens behind bars stays behind bars, but we're beginning to see now, because of recidivism and because continued activity that kind of happens outside of the institutions, we're beginning to see that they're causing more harm than good.
Thanks for the call, Elizabeth. Next, we're going to go to Amy. She joins us from Lake Geneva. Amy, hi.
Hi. I had a comment that I really strongly agree with this reverend. His view. I think that even the initial offense should probably be something more like 10 to 30 days of confinement, solitary confinement.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a comment that I have a firsthand experience also with, well, not firsthand, but my mother, who has bipolar. We had relocated to a new area, and she had found herself at a hospital exhibiting symptoms of mental illness, and the police ended up, I guess inappropriately placing her in a jail for 3 days, which was the first time that had ever happened to her. And she had lived with this illness for many, many years, and we had just relocated to Wisconsin when this happened. And unfortunately, she was left there without medication or anything for I believe, 3 days before she was sent to a more appropriate facility. So I can see how, you know, also, you know, police, I believe, there needs to be more mandatory training for police in dealing with mental illness. That's another issue, possibly. But I did sit on a panel in Walworth County for training of police officers in dealing with mental illness. But I became aware at that training that it was an optional training, and it shouldn't be optional. It should be mandatory.
Amy, thank you so much for your thoughts on that and for sharing your story, your family story, with something similar here. And Reverend Briscoe, do you think that any reform of the criminal justice system has to include a new tack on treating mental illness and also training maybe for law enforcement?
Yes, absolutely, because most of what you would find your necessary confinement would be when there is a violent fight between inmates or whatever. You might want to put them away for a period of 24 hours, 48 hours for a cooling off period. You might want to separate the combatants. But when you place people in these situations for acting out, and when officers can't recognize that the difference between a mental situation and a behavioral situation, it becomes very, very punitive. If you have someone who has a bipolar incident and not violent, to be put away, which makes that incident worse.
The president said in his opinion piece, he said, in America, we believe in redemption. What do you think about that prospect of redemption? Do you think that is something that is agreed upon when we look at criminal justice in the United States? And is it something that we need to think about more as a concept as we look at reform?
Well, we do have to look at redemption, because historically we have been wanting our pound of flesh from those who have committed crimes. Put them in prison, treat them as harshly as possible, do not give them any means to think that they belong to society again, and make sure that they pay their debt. But what we have forgotten is the putting them in jail, the isolation from family and society, is a huge debt. And if they're going to be coming back to society and coming back among people to live and have prosperous life, we should be investing in everything we can to make them whole again, to make them, not to treat them harshly, because most of them committed crimes and acted out because they felt that they weren't a part of society, that there was something that was lacking. So if you put them in a situation and treat them worse, I don't see how you can expect to turn them back out to society and hope for them to recover.
And we leave it there. Reverend Briscoe, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, and I look forward to working with you in the future.
That was Reverend Willie Briscoe, president of the state faith-based group Wisdom, which advocates for criminal justice reform. He's also an associate minister at New Covenant Baptist Church in Milwaukee. He joined us to talk about the president's executive actions on the use of solitary confinement in federal prisons.